Run it back.
Welcome to
the most epic Holly Jolly
Christmas Showdown.
I'm Amanda Figueroa.
And I'm Adriana York, formerly Figueroa.
And we are two sisters who love Christmas and competition. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
All right. So, we're in it right now. Miracles of Christmas, our last category. And we're getting closer and closer to our playoffs. How are you feeling?
I'm actually really excited to get to playoffs because I feel like this is what we have been working for or working towards. But I'm also like a little overwhelmed because I'm like, it's going to be a lot of work on our end, but it'll be fun work. So it'll be okay.
Yeah. I think it's going to be exciting because we're pulling our family into it and they may not be excited for it, but I'm excited to see their reactions. So...
yeah, I agree.
All right, so before we get into today's episode, our weekly Christmas cheer. So I will kick it off with this past Sunday. Me and our mom, we went up into our garage attic and we brought down all of the Christmas decorations. All of them.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. That was my weekly Christmas cheer. I brought the Christmas decorations down. I got really excited about it.
Yeah, and we're going to be decorating soon. My weekly Christmas cheer is last week on Thursday, Starbucks dropped their holiday drinks.
Yeah.
It just, honestly, I had met somebody for coffee that Monday before, not knowing that they were going to drop the holiday drinks on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And on Monday, I was like, oh, I really just want, like, some peppermint. Like, I just want some pep, you know? And so they dropped their holiday drinks, and I've gone twice. I honestly could have gone a few more times. I thought about it a few more times, but yeah, they're just so good. Disclaimer, we are recording at a different time of day than we normally do, and I feel like, at least for me, I'm being a little hush-hush. So if we sound like we're whispering, it's because it's nighttime.
Yeah.
It is like 9:45 p.m.
Yeah.
For no other reason except we have busy days and here we are. But if it seems like we're just a little quieter, it's just because it's later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are new to the podcast or returning and you just forgot... how our episodes work is that we jump into a summary of the movie. Today we are looking at Christmas Bedtime Stories from Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. And so we give a pretty detailed summary, but if you don't like spoilers, you'd get some spoilers with our summary. So take a pause here, go find the movie. You can watch it on anywhere Hallmark is offered, so Hallmark Channel if you have a TV subscription, or Hallmark Movies and Now if you have that separate subscription, or if you wanted to sign up for the free trial and just binge a whole bunch of movies, you can do that.
It's also available on Amazon Prime Video and Vudu and YouTube and Apple TV.
Nice.
But I don't know if that's just to rent. There is a cost to it.
Yeah. So you have plenty of avenues to go watch it if you want to watch it before listening, but if you don't really want to watch it and you're okay with spoilers, then keep listening. We're going to tell you about the movie, and then we are going to break it down and score the movie. So we have five different categories in which we rate our movies. They are plot, main character, aesthetic, overall Christmas cheer, and supporting characters. And then at the end, we'll round it out with a cringe factor because we got to address that. But without further ado, here we go. This 2022 Hallmark Movies and Mysteries original begins in a snow-covered town where we meet Danielle, a teacher, as she coordinates the annual Christmas toy drive. with mentions of combat pay, sergeant, and oorah, as well as people in green military camo uniforms, we get the sense that the military is involved. Outside, with a kiss on the cheek, Pierce, a toy company employee, greets Danielle with a truck full of toys for the toy drive. Together, Danielle and Pierce talk plans for the upcoming days of decorating, Christmas tree shopping, and more toy drive fun with Pierce's other favorite girl, who happens to be Danielle's daughter, Audrey. Later that afternoon, we meet Audrey as she comes home from school and shares that she's been getting bullied by this one girl from school. The reason? She is bringing her mom to the upcoming father-daughter dance. And it is with the mention of this and talking of her father fondly in the past tense, we are led to assume that Audrey's father has passed. Audrey's Aunt Jane and Pierce arrive at the house with excitement for the night's Christmas festivities. While decorating, Audrey gets distracted by a picture of her father Colby and a folded American flag, which is usually a sign of a fallen soldier. Mm-hmm. And we get confirmation that Colby had indeed passed 3 years prior. While unpacking decorations, Danielle searches through boxes for a special bell ornament that she had received from Colby that had gone missing 3 years ago, the same timing of Colby's death. Mm-hmm. Audrey is then sent off to bed and Danielle follows, prepared to continue their daily bedtime routine when Audrey asks for the story of how her parents met in lieu of a book read to her. Danielle begins the story by taking us back to 11 years prior at the Christmas tree lighting on base. Danielle and her friend Sophia are enjoying the scene when we see Colby jump on stage to begin the ceremony. While introducing the tree that is about to be lit, Colby calls it the King of Christmas Trees. And right as he flips the switch to light the tree, the Christmas lights flicker and quickly go dark. Danielle then decides to help Colby by distracting the crowd with some Christmas jokes of hers, and she also fails at doing this as Colby is the only one to laugh at her jokes, while Colby fixes whatever issue they are having. He comes back, the tree lights up, and they officially meet and decide to spend the evening getting to know each other. This also happens to be the day that Danielle meets Pierce. Back in the present day, Danielle shares that the best things happen at Christmas time, and we get to learn that basically everything big for their family happened around Christmas. Like, that's everything. Literally everything. Anything big in a relationship or a family has happened around Christmas for them. Audrey asks for more stories about her dad, and Danielle mentions a journal that she used to write in. They share their good nights, and Danielle, with hot cocoa in hand, goes outside to check on Pierce decorating the exterior of the house. While admiring the house and its decor, Pierce professes his love for Danielle and follows with a proposal. Danielle, stunned and caught off guard, asks to talk to Audrey before answering, and they celebrate. That next morning at breakfast, Danielle shares the news with Audrey, and Audrey's response, she's cool with it because he's nice. Pierce then arrives at the house for Christmas tree shopping with a teddy bear for Audrey, which is met with disappointment as Audrey already had a teddy bear from her dad. Pierce, eager to hear Danielle's answer to his proposal, and Danielle honestly seeming forgetful, shares an excited yes. Pierce then puts the ring on her finger, the massive ring on her bear finger.
Massive.
Dude, it's like 3 stones with, I think it's a halo, I don't know. It's a massive ring. Yeah. And he works for a toy company. Well, that makes sense. And the three of them head out to the Christmas tree lot, where the salesperson that greets them tells them about their newest shipment. A shipment of trees that they like to call the King of Christmas Trees.
Ooh.
Both Audrey and Danielle make the realization that Colby had said the same thing in the story that Danielle had shared just the night before. They decide on a tree together and head out to the local Christmas festival to run a collection booth for the toy drive. While at the festival, Danielle notices a man looking at a Christmas tree with a very familiar jacket. Danielle stares on with hope and anticipation as the man turns around, and it's not Colby, even though she really wants it to be. Mm-hmm. Pierce notices this moment, asks Danielle about it, and Danielle quickly glazes over it and redirects. The soon-to-be family is back at home decorating their tree when Audrey is disappointed that Colby's ornament is still missing. As she heads to bed, Audrey asks Pierce if he would be willing to take her to the Christmas dance, the father-daughter dance that her mom was going to take her to. Happiness flows about as all parties are in agreement. That night at bedtime, Audrey asks her mom about Colby's ornament and how it gained its importance. We travel back to 10 years before on Christmas morning. Danielle opens a gift from Colby, a brown leather journal with her name engraved on it. And at the end of their gift exchange, Colby grabs his last gift, a commitment he calls it rather than a gift, which is a golden retriever puppy that they choose to name Star, who also happens to be sporting a collar with a Christmas bell on it that is carrying an engagement ring. Back in present day, Danielle and Audrey awake to Star's barks and head downstairs to find Star digging under their couch. And what is he digging to get? Well, none other than their missing bell ornament. Danielle, shocked, confused, hopeful, looks back online to find the news article of Colby's passing. She then heads to the venue for the toy drive where an attentive Sophia notices how off Danielle seems to be. Danielle confides in Sophia about the signs that she's been noticing and the feeling of Colby's presence, and Danielle is met with confusion and concern from Sophia and the explanation that she may just be feeling guilt about her newest engagement. Back at home, Danielle shares her feelings regarding Colby and the stories Audrey has been asking about with Pierce. During this time, Pierce questions Danielle about a date for the wedding and mentions moving off base and retiring in Florida. Completely overwhelming Danielle. That night at bedtime, an old wedding photo prompts Audrey to ask Danielle about the flower girl. We flash back to their wedding day and see Danielle, the flower girl, Aunt Jane, and Pierce hanging out in the, I want to say audience, but it's not that.
In the pews.
In the pews. Their vows include a promise of a lifetime of Christmases and laughter at jokes. After bedtime, Danielle chats with Jane about her feelings regarding this season of life that she's entering into and her hesitation because of the past. We get the sense that Danielle is really having some serious hesitation. Mm-hmm. The next day, Danielle enters their local coffee shop where she runs into Lisa and Jenny, her flower girl and her flower girl's mom, who they haven't seen in years. So back at the coffee shop, they sit down to talk. Lisa invites Danielle back to the wives group. Both ladies share of their daughters, asking about their past fathers, and Danielle learns of Lisa's new husband. Pierce enters the coffee shop. Danielle mentions her wedding with Colby with apprehension, and Lisa notices Danielle's ring. It was awkward.
Yeah.
Lisa invited them to a movie night that night, and Pierce answers yes for the both of them. We follow Pierce to work, where he talks to his friend about the tension between he and Danielle and Colby and all of the past with that. Mm-hmm. At yet another Christmas festival, toy drive something, I honestly don't even know what all these things were.
Yeah, no, it was kind of hard to keep track.
Yeah, another Christmas something outdoors. Danielle shares about running into her old flower girl with Sophia, where Sophia's concern grows because Danielle keeps talking about all these signs and like she feels like Colby is trying to talk to her, and Sophia's like, dude, you're dealing with some serious grief, like let's make sure we kind of rein this all in. Mm-hmm. The soon-to-be family arrives at movie night, and while there, Danielle decides to finally get excited about talking about the future with Pierce. Danielle pulls Lisa to ask her for advice about getting remarried after loss and to share that she actually isn't too excited about looking too far ahead in the future with Pierce.
Yikes. What every guy wants to hear.
Yeah. Lisa encourages her and shares of her own struggles that she had. That night at bedtime, Audrey asks about the day she was born. We flash back to a snowstorm, sudden water break, and Colby braving the storm to come to Danielle's rescue. That next morning, Danielle and Audrey wake up to a snowstorm. Mm-hmm. You heard it right, a storm just like in the night before's story. At Audrey's birthday party, the kids of the neighborhood enjoy the snow with snow angels, snowball fights, and cookie decorating. Sophia arrives with the birthday cake where Danielle is yet again distant, prompting Sophia to ask and receive another concerning answer of signs from Danielle. Pierce, just in the other room, is able to listen in or at least see them having this conversation of Danielle sharing her concern of Colby's body never being found and her desire for closure. Sophia continues to try to speak reason and assurance to Danielle that Colby is in fact no longer here and she is just being flooded with grief. Danielle has yet another flashback moment where Pierce notices. Pierce then asks about the conversation Danielle had with Sophia, and Danielle shares of the signs she's been having and feelings that she's been feeling. Pierce meets this with concern that they are not going to work out. That night's bedtime routine consists of Audrey being upset that her dad's bear no longer sings, and Danielle instead sings Silent Night to Audrey, the song that her dad had sang into the bear. The next day, Danielle pleads with the Marine Corps general for more details regarding Colby's crash. Danielle questions him about Colby possibly being held prisoner somewhere, but the general assures her that Colby was declared dead for a reason. Danielle joins Audrey and Sophia at the toy drive, where she shares about the peace she feels now after the conversation with the general and her plans to completely separate herself from the base and the memories she has from there. At Pierce's company holiday party, Pierce's colleagues question the engaged couple about honeymoon plans, and Pierce quickly responds with plans for the beach, and Danielle just sips her drink, kind of like the tea sipping meme, you know, like,
yeah,
Kermit the Frog's drinking his tea and just kind of like, whoop, there's drama. I
have a lot of things about this situation.
Dude, me too. Pierce is growing increasingly concerned and confused in regards to Danielle's feelings for him. He apologizes to Danielle for his honeymoon comment and questions her for cold feet. But Danielle just melts and answers him with reassurance, but walks away from the car with her smile fading from her face. I forgot to mention they had left at this point. But either way, she's like, no, 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 it's all fine. And then she walks away and it's just like deadpan.
Yeah.
Like, it was weird. As Danielle enters Audrey's room for bedtime, Audrey asks about the last time Danielle had seen Colby. Danielle describes the last video call she shared with him, where right when Colby was sharing of something he had left for her, their signal cuts out. Audrey and Danielle share of their lasts with Colby, and Audrey is still holding hope that her dad is out there. Danielle confides in Jane, and finally, someone meets her feelings with understanding rather than concern. Out for a stroll, Danielle stops in front of the tree that she and Colby took their first picture in front of. While there, the lights flicker on and off. And the next day at the toy drive, the whole community shows up and shares in the Christmas joy in Danielle's lasts on base. During her ending speech, Danielle encourages everyone to embrace the past while also being truly present in the moment. After, Danielle finds Pierce and tries to set plans with him, but Pierce doesn't seem too excited. So they end up settling on meeting at their spot the next morning, which is the local coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
That night, Danielle is finally packing up Colby's stuff, where she finds her old journal. And as she's flipping through it, she finds a note that Colby had left, which he's telling her to follow her heart. And, you know, he loves her and Audrey so much. She tells Jane of this note, unsure of what it means, but was really trying to find meaning in it.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next morning, she goes to meet Pierce at their spot and ends up calling it off.
Yeah.
She just said, my heart is saying I'm not in it. We shouldn't get married. So let's not get married. But they split amicably. Back at home, Danielle learns that Audrey doesn't want to go to the dance anymore. And Danielle admits to Audrey that she was just trying to push the pain away and she wasn't being there for Audrey as she should have been. She also shares about her breakup with Pierce, and after this conversation, Danielle walks downstairs to find news that prisoners have been found and rescued in the same place that Colby had his plane crash. She calls the general and he assures her that no one is Kobe. There aren't actually no American soldiers that they had rescued. So she just accepts this, goes to the dance with Audrey, and at the dance, she's just overwhelmed with feelings of a lot of stuff. I guess I'm assuming, I don't know. But she goes to the bathroom to cry. And while in the bathroom, literally perfect timing, they decide to have a slow dance for all of the fathers and daughters where they play Silent Night. Audrey walks off the dance floor, just sits on a chair by herself waiting for her mom. And as Danielle leaves the bathroom, she is met with a bell ornament on a tree. And she just takes this as yet another sign that Colby is trying to reach out for her. She then looks up to see the back of a man in uniform standing outside of the dance. As he turns around, we see
Colby.
It is Colby. They kiss and they reunite excitingly. And we learn that Colby had in fact been held prisoner. But right before the invasion to, you know, save all the prisoners, he had escaped. So nobody knew that he had come back yet. They go into the dance and Colby is reunited with Audrey and gets to share that special father-daughter dance with her. As they all go back home, both Colby and Danielle put Audrey to bed together with a bedtime story. And that is Christmas Bedtime Stories.
There's so much about this movie I don't like.
Yeah.
And honestly, as you were reading the summary, it might go down for me.
No. Like, okay. See, I think I'm opposite. So say what you said again. You said your score doesn't reflect it.
No, I think my score reflected how I was feeling when I watched it. And then as you were reading it again and I was kind of going back through it, I was like, there is so much more that I actually found annoying.
Cringy. Yeah.
Cringy, annoying, confusing. And there's just a lot of questions of why, how, what, like... That's how I felt about this movie. So,
yeah.
Let's just get into it.
Let's get into it.
All right, so plot. I gave it 2.5 candy canes out of 5.
Okay.
I honestly thought it was a bit confusing because the one thing that I hated about the plot was that this engagement of Danielle and Pierce was completely unnecessary. I mean, completely unnecessary. And it actually took away from the movie and it made me dislike Danielle and Pierce. Like, both of them in this whole situation, I didn't like them.
Yeah.
And I think it was this whole subplot that they were putting in there that didn't need to be in there because it was honestly toxic.
Yeah.
And, there was this weird magical thing that was happening and it was like the directions that people were trying to tell Danielle to take felt like it was going to point the movie towards she was going to finally just be okay with being with Pierce.
Yeah.
But then Colby does show up in the end.
Yeah.
And there's so many holes in it. When it comes to Colby and his disappearance, because he's a Marine recon, he's in that special forces. It's a special forces within the Marines.
Yeah.
I feel like they keep track of those guys very well because they are specialized. They are trained. So I don't know. Like, how do you lose a guy? I mean, I'm not saying that you can't lose a guy. But for him to have been captured and then somehow he gets all the way home without anyone.
Dude, that.
Anyone knowing that he got home? How did he get home? How did he get out of freaking Yemen?
Yeah.
and then get to the United States.
I think they were trying to say that he swam. No, legit. She, in somewhere in the movie, she was like, yeah, there's stories of people swimming from like so and so, like someplace to other place. And I'm like, he just swam a bajillion miles? Like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, Special Forces. We're watching a Special Forces show right now. So, like, I'm like, those guys are intense, but holy guacamole. How did he get out?
Yeah, so there's just so many things that were so confusing.
And at some point, he has to fly over.
Exactly. How does no one know who he is?
Yeah.
Like, at all. It was just very confusing. There was a lot of holes with Colby's story and how he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship between Danielle and Pierce did not need to be there. And it would actually be a better movie if they didn't have that.
I think so.
It would be a better movie. Like,
they were kind of distracting.
Yeah. Just think about a single mom with her daughter. It's 3 years later, and the daughter just starts asking questions, and then the mom's like, you know, thinking, like, that would be a much more enjoyable movie for me.
We don't always need a romance aspect, and we still had a romance, like,
Colby and Dan. Yeah,
that
would have been way more wholesome than whatever they decided to do. Anyways, that's my piece.
No, I agree. I gave it 3 candy canes out of 5. I did initially enjoy it. Like, I was sucked in the first time that we put it on, and I was like, oh, this is a really cool concept. After watching it a few times and breaking it down, I was like, okay, it kind of sucks. But
see, that was completely opposite to my reaction. I hated it the first time I watched it, and I kind of was like, I dragged it through the mud when I was talking to mom about it. And then when I watched it again, there were some things that I was like, okay, I like this, I like that.
Well, the first time I watched it, I didn't watch it all the way through.
Mm.
So I didn't see that he was alive.
Oh. Changes things, doesn't it?
No, it really does. But I overall enjoyed it. I thought it was a cool and different concept. I think it would have been elevated if it had been more extreme. Like, yes, him coming back is extreme. But I would have preferred it to either be super fantasy, where it's like his ghost is speaking to her and is like,
yeah,
I'm with you forever, I'll love you forever, like, but I want you to be happy. And then she like lives happily with Pierce. Like, I think I just needed it to be a little bit more out there for it to be a really exciting movie. Because it did grab me until the end, when I absolutely rolled my eyes. I was like, no stinking way, that's him. Like, and it wasn't a happy, no stinking way. It was like, get out of here, that was dumb.
Yeah.
I liked it, just, yeah, it was just, there were some serious holes. And then it felt like they had something really good going. But all Hallmark movies, with commercials included, they're strictly 2 hours long. And so it felt like they were just coming up on that time limit, and they just decided to, like, cut things really fast and, like, get, like, cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Because things just, like, sped up all of a sudden, and you were like, what the heck? And we're left with all these questions. Like, how did he get back? How did nobody know? What the heck?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, maybe too, if they would have taken out, like, some of the signs, like, some of them were just stupid. Dumb. Like, the snowstorm, the King of Trees. Yeah, you could have just left it at, like, the ornament. And I liked the touch of the lights flickering at the Christmas tree.
Yeah, and, like, meeting this lady that you hadn't seen in 3 years, like, randomly.
So. And then, yeah, if they would have cut out the relationship with Pierce, they would have had time to, like, have made it better. So it was good. It all came together too perfectly, and it honestly made me mad.
Yeah.
So that's why they got a 3. Okay, main characters or character.
I just said it was Danielle.
Same. Okay, great. I gave her 2 candy canes out of 5.
Same.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I might be generous here. Yeah. But I liked... Okay, so what I liked about her is less than what I didn't like about her.
Yes.
But what I did like was like the struggle that she was going through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I liked that aspect of like, okay, like, I am a widow. Like, I don't have closure.
Mm-hmm.
I have all these questions in my head and there's like all these possibilities. And so she's trying to like struggle through like making it through her life and moving yeah. on while also handling that. And then also like the aspect of her being a mom and trying to be strong for her daughter. And like, maybe that's what made it a little difficult for her to move on, because she just mm-hmm. kind of had to like glaze over everything to support her daughter.
Yeah.
And she never really got to like ask her own questions and like dive into her own feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it from her character that I liked.
No, I agree with what you liked about her. I would say that, yeah, in some ways she's like relatable. And there are some things where I looked at her and the way that, like, the way that this actress laughed, I really liked it. And I was like, oh, she seems like she could be so much fun. And then you just, like, really keep looking at this character. And I'm like, I can't stand her. But then there's just those moments where you're like, she's relatable. She's kind of quirky,
mm-hmm.
you know. Not so perfect, which is what I liked about it. She wasn't, like, super perfect.
Yeah.
And so there was a little bit more depth to her than what Hallmark can sometimes give these yeah. women. But that was the extent of yeah. it.
I will say the actress herself, I feel like she played the character very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were parts of, like, probably what was the script. Because I saw just, like, snippets of another movie that she's in.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I liked her character a lot better in the other movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it showed me that, like, she as an actress is very good.
Yes.
I like following the script and, like, completing the mission.
Yeah.
But, like, so her acting was so good that it made me dislike Danielle as well. Because
yeah.
of, like, the hard exterior and the hard shell. Like, at the beginning, she's just, like, so happy and so, like, cheerful and, like, mm-hmm. big smile and yada, yada, yada. And, like, the actress, she did it very well. But yeah. it was so annoying. Like, I yeah. hated that.
No, I will say I think the actress is very talented. 'Cause I have seen her in other Hallmark movies and I've enjoyed the movies that she is in. So.
Yeah.
Just not this one. But I don't think it was her fault.
No, I don't think so at all.
What I didn't like about Danielle is so much. She was toxic.
So toxic.
She was toxic. So let's put it into perspective. It's 3 years after he's died.
Mm-hmm.
She's been dating Pierce for 9 months.
Mm.
It really wasn't that much of a shocker. If you put it into that perspective of why he would be like, okay, it's been 9 months. We've been dating this whole time. I'm putting up her Christmas lights. Like, he's very comfortable around her family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jane and Audrey. Like, he fits in there very well. So, really, I can understand why he was like, the next logical step is to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, all lovey-dovey. She's so sweet. Like, she's so cheery. So happy. And as soon as this proposal comes up, she starts to get withdrawn.
Yeah.
And she doesn't explain to him why.
Yeah.
And anytime he questions her, oh no, it's fine.
She does that stupid Hallmark thing, which makes me so mad.
She goes, no, I'm just working through something. It's okay. Like, we're okay. We are okay. And you're not okay.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting cold feet. You have second thoughts. And you want to be open. Like, she mentions that. It's like, I want to be open with you. But she's open about what Audrey's doing, not about how she's feeling, yeah. you know? And I just felt like she just didn't want to be alone.
Yeah.
And just because of that, she selfishly allowed Pierce to be in this situation.
Yeah.
Which caused him emotional turmoil. And I think her behavior made him actually more toxic. Because I do think that he was toxic. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But it was the way that she was acting towards him that brought out this not likable quality in him.
Yeah.
And so it was like, he was toxic, yes, but it came out because she started to do it first. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because of a toxic situation brought out his toxicity.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I literally hated how she just, like, strung him along the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the angle that they were trying to get at is, like, she's dealing with grief. She's trying to figure out how to balance that and still move on with her life. But, like, come on, dude. Like, a more realistic way of them going about their relationship would be, like, she just says, no, sorry, I don't think I'm ready for marriage.
Yeah.
Or, like, hey, I'm happy to take this next step into committing towards marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think I still need some more time for us to, like, sit in this season of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't. She was like, no, I'm so happy. I'm so excited. Let's figure out a date. Yeah, whatever you want. Blah. She was awful.
Yeah.
And I literally hated... I didn't see it too much with her, but I hated that she allowed other people to do this to Audrey. But, like, Audrey, anytime that she brought up her Colby with anybody else, everybody else would try to, like, distract Audrey.
Yeah.
And they, like, didn't let Audrey feel that. And Danielle was, like, always there. And she just let it happen. But, like, when it was Danielle and Audrey, like, she would answer those questions and, like, tell her stories. And it's, like...
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that's what all those people were trying to do with Danielle, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, come on, dude. Like, it's a kid, and it's her dad.
And speaking of that, I hated, absolutely hated, at the end, at the dance, where Danielle, like, she's getting all emotional. This still doesn't make sense to me. There's a father-daughter dance, what, like, every year?
Mm-hmm.
Had they not gone in 3 years, and this was, like, the first time they went? That's another thing that confused me. Why is it such a big deal now? And why couldn't Danielle get through it for her daughter? I just found it so selfish that she went to the bathroom, cried, and was like, you can do this. I'm like, you should have been telling yourself that when you were getting ready, because you knew how important it was for your daughter. You knew that she was getting bullied.
She was already hesitant too.
Yeah. She was getting bullied because people were like, your dad's not going to be there. You're going to be going there with her with your mom. Yeah. So that's where the mom needed to boss up even more and be like, yeah, I'm here and I'm here for my daughter and you better back up. That's what a good mom does.
Yeah.
So that made me mad.
Yeah. There was just... I'm sure there's more that I could think of. I honestly really didn't like her character. And like I said, I was being generous with my score because I liked the realistic perspective. But it was horribly done.
Yeah, I was honestly considering going down to 1.5, but I'll leave it at a 2.
Yeah, for sake of my math later, I'm going to leave it at a 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to aesthetic.
This one was better for me.
Okay.
For me, it was... I actually gave it 4 candy canes out of 5.
Oh, do you tell?
I honestly thought it was so pretty to look at. Like, I just... I felt like it was Christmas, but, like, different themes of Christmas. Mm. Like, in the house, it was, like, this weird, like, rustic but elegant vibe with, like, the orange peel...
Yeah. Garland.
Garland. And the ambiance was just kind of cozy. And then I liked, I just liked how I felt like every scene was pretty Christmassy. Even if it wasn't with the decorations, it was like with the feeling, like the campfire scene. You have, when they're at the toy drive, you know, it just, it felt good. I really liked the costuming. I actually liked Danielle's outfits. It made her look like a really chic looking mom. And then there was this like sweater dress, this white one.
Ooh, yeah.
That I really liked.
I did like that.
Yeah. I hated the fake bangs that they gave her.
Interesting.
It just, you could obviously tell that they weren't her hair. Uh-huh. And I just, it bothered me.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I did realize was that I felt like people had color themes.
Yeah.
Like Pierce was gray and maybe some blues, but mainly like gray. And then Audrey was kind of like more of the pinky vibe. And then you had Jane that was more blue. And then you had Sophia that was like green.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danielle just kind of did whatever.
Yeah.
And so that was, I liked it and I didn't like it at the same time.
I can understand that.
So that was it.
This category kind of suffered for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I gave it 1.5 candy canes out of 5.
Yeah. we're thinking.
I think for everything you liked, I disliked it.
Oh.
Like, so I feel like the overall color scheme of the movie was blue and gray.
Uh-huh.
With hints of the other cheery colors. I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
So much. I hate it so much.
I don't go for the blue and gray, but I thought it fit.
I thought it fit too, but I didn't like it. Like, I hate seeing blue lights on a tree.
Yeah.
Like, only blue lights. Like, give me multicolor at least, but only blue? Disgusting. And it's just, I actually preferred her bangs over her normal hair.
Interesting.
I felt like her normal hair made her look so much older than what she is. And, like, she just seemed, like, old and sad and ugh.
See, I didn't see older. I just thought I saw more angular, which could hint at older. I think the bangs really played into this like illusion that she, you know, had that still youthful like plumpness that you have in your face.
Yeah.
And then when you get older, it just, it starts to lean out.
Yeah.
I think that was a good illusion there though.
Yeah. No, I thought that it was very well done.
Uh-huh.
So much so that I preferred her bangs. But I didn't like love her makeup. Her outfits were pretty, but again, they weren't just like, they weren't what I would want.
Interesting. You know?
Like, I loved that white sweater dress.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel festive to me.
Interesting.
For like a holiday Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
And like even the holiday Christmas party or the company Christmas party was just eh. Like, yeah. I liked the ornament things on the wall. They had these like diamonds made of different shaped ornaments,
mm-hmm.
all in the same color. And so that was pretty, but like that was it.
Interesting.
Everything else just kind of seemed like dulled. And I think that's my issue with the blue and gray color scheme is that it just seems dull.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what other notes I made. I did have things that I liked. It's just overall, I didn't really like it too much. I didn't like her outside of her house. Like,
That I didn't necessarily like.
Yeah. I loved Sophia's green coat. She wore it multiple times in the movie, and I'm so grateful because it was so cute. It was almost like a tweed type of material or whatever. Not material, but, you know, it's almost like tweed-ish and green and just beautiful, and I loved it. I will say Audrey, her birthday is around Christmas time.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the flashback to when she was born, the receiving blanket that she was in.
Yeah.
And we didn't see a baby, we just saw the blanket, but it was red and white striped.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that... No, that was done very well.
Yeah.
And I did really like the dried oranges on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
her Christmas tree at home. But again, I just have issues with her Christmas tree. Like, there were other trees in the background of her house and, like, other decorations that were kind of, like, blue and white.
Uh-huh.
And then they have a dried orange garland with, like, these lavender pinky ornaments on their main tree.
Mm-hmm.
With other blue decorations. Like, I just don't like that. Personally, not my vibe. So, I didn't enjoy it. But I would have liked the tree if it maybe had a different color scheme the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I loved that it was, like, pink ornaments. And it's just, like, Danielle and Audrey in the house. So, they're making it kind of girly and cute. Like, that I loved sense. That. But
yeah.
It didn't match with everything else. That's just the exterior of the house, maybe. But inside, it was, like, a lot of blue. And I was like, ugh. And then I did like her dance dress.
Oh, yeah. I did like that one.
Yeah. It was really pretty.
Mm-hmm. And even Jane, too. Like, I liked Jane's outfits. Yeah.
She didn't show up enough to really, like, make a dent in my score. But, yeah, I liked her whole vibe. And
I liked Pierce, too. And that was, this is, like, one of the things that ran through my head. It's so random. But when you saw Jane and Pierce together, I honestly wished that they
would have been together.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
I wished that's the angle that they went with.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, moving on. Overall Christmas cheer.
I gave it 2 candy canes out of 5.
Okay. I gave it 3 candy canes out of 5.
Okay. There's stuff like the toy drive and, you know, the Christmas campfire and making the ornaments and just all those things that I found admirable and, like, very Christmassy, and it put me in a good mood. But, like, the storyline and the whole thing about just, like, Colby this, Colby that, is he coming? It did not put me in a Christmas mood at all. I was more annoyed than anything when finishing the movie, which is not what you want.
Yeah, I felt very selfish and obsessive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my score was very heavily influenced by the Christmas decorations in the movie that I did like.
Yeah.
So I took the Christmas decorations separate from aesthetic and put it in overall Christmas cheer.
Oh, interesting. Because
I didn't think it was, like, always there. Like, I didn't always notice the Christmas decorations.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just, like, certain times that I was like, oh, right, it's a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's really what carried it. So I'll tell you what I did like so that you can look out for it. The nutcrackers at the Christmas lighting ceremony are massive and beautiful, and I loved them.
Yeah.
I loved them.
Love a good so nutcracker. Much.
Yes. And then, oh, my gosh, Amanda.
Yeah.
The gold trees at Santa, like, whenever Audrey went to go meet Santa, I legitimately have Googled them. Because they're, like, these gold tinsel trees. Like, it's just gold tinsel that makes up the tree. And then they have red and green ornaments on it. It's just so beautiful and bright. And I loved it. Oh, my gosh. It was amazing.
Oh, I will say about the tree at the end that flickered, I love those ornaments. They were the size of, like, your head.
Oh, yeah.
They were huge.
Yeah. No, the ornaments that they used were really good. Like, and the ornament clusters at that Christmas or company Christmas party that I mentioned.
Yeah.
Those were really pretty. I was like, can we do that in the house somewhere?
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed that. Last category.
Supporting characters. I gave him 1.5 candy canes out of 5.
I gave him 1 candy cane out of 5.
Okay. So we're in the same
boat. I couldn't stand them.
The only
one I liked was Jane.
Jane. And even then, I had my problems with Jane, too. Mm-hmm. So let's start off with Jane and Sophia, because I felt like both in their way, like, Jane was being a good sister and Sophia was being a good friend, because they were concerned for her. They were obviously involved in her life and you know, you can see that they were having like these conversations like about Colby and they're there for her. But someone needed to talk to her and be like, you need to make a choice. What is it that you want? Do you want to marry Pierce or do you want to just hold out for Colby? And like, it's okay to be like, I'm not ready to be with someone because I love Colby. It's okay to say that you don't want to be with anyone ever again because you just loved Colby that much. Like, some people are like that and it's okay. And I think Jane was getting to that point, but it was too late in the movie. And Sophia, she was kind of like in the clouds a little bit. I think she was definitely living through Danielle because she wasn't with, she's not with anyone. Dating
scene, yeah.
And so I think she was definitely ignoring a lot of those things that was bothering Danielle because she was wanting to live through Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the overly concerned, like, are you okay mentally, came in to play with Sophia. Like, what's going on with you? You're coming up with these signs again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I could see that. I felt like Jane was pretty direct. Like, in the times that Danielle had spoken to her. But yeah, it was like already so late in the movie that it was just like, couldn't really do much.
Yeah.
Because she first talked to her pretty like well into like over halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
And then I actually really didn't like Sophia. Like, she felt very gaslighty.
I can see that.
And she would basically be like, this is why you feel this way, this is what's happening, and this is what you need to do moving forward. And I'm like, whoa, bro, chill. I'm like, chill out. She's like, no, you're just flooded with grief because you just recently got engaged. So you just need to get over it. He is dead. And go live happily with Pierce. And I was like, holy cow. Aggressive much. But yeah, I mean, obviously she at some point had to be a good friend because they had been friends for a very, very long time. But we weren't seeing it.
Well, I think that was because she was living through Danielle.
Yeah, I liked that. How you viewed that.
And then Audrey.
Gosh, Audrey.
I can understand a kid wanting to ask questions, but it also had been 3 years. And I'm concerned, like, in that time you never talked about, like, Danielle never talked to her about her dad. To the point where she wants to know every single detail that happened between her mom and her dad, like from the time that they met to the time the last time that her mom spoke to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was in her own way a little gaslighty too, like to her mom being like, oh, I'm so excited for Pierce to be in our family and I wish my dad would come home. Well, you can't have both like that because Pierce is wanting to marry your mom. And like, you know, like, I can't blame her, though. Like, she's supposed to be 8.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't know any better. That's why, like, a lot of it wasn't docked on Audrey's end for me. Because I'm like, well, it's supposed to be an 8-year-old girl. Yeah, she wouldn't know any better.
Yeah. I think my issue with Audrey, and I'm so sorry saying this, but I just didn't like her acting. So awful. Sweetheart. Whomever you are, if you ever listen to this, I am hopeful that you can go up from here. But like you mentioned, she's supposed to be 8.
Yeah.
This actress is not 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was like a disconnect because she's older. trying to act this certain age, but then she ended up acting younger.
Yeah.
And that just really threw me for a loop.
Mm.
And Audrey honestly carried my cringe.
That's interesting.
Because I just, she'd be like, Mommy.
Yeah.
Ew, you ate butterflies?
Yeah.
Like, disgusting. I already have a teddy bear. He's from my dad. He doesn't sing anymore. And then she'd be like, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad because it's her acting. But just like when Pierce gave her her birthday gift, she goes, I love it. Like, just her facial expression. I didn't enjoy it, but yeah. And then, yeah, I think my concern was also like, so you didn't ask any questions before? Y'all never talked about Colby before?
But again, I couldn't blame her for that because...
Yeah, I mostly blame everyone else around her because, like I mentioned earlier, anytime she would mention Colby, they would just try to distract her and like redirect her. And it's like,
yeah,
don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked what Lisa said whenever Danielle and Lisa were talking in the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Where she was like, yeah, Jenny used to ask me about her father too. And I would try to share stories because I wanted to keep his memory alive for her.
I honestly loved Lisa.
Loved her.
And I thought,
like, she should have been Sophia.
She should have been Sophia. And really, Danielle should have taken more of her advice, because I felt like Lisa had very practical ways of going about it, because she went through it too. Hey, my husband died. I have a child with that husband, and I have to talk to her, but then I also fell in love again, and it's not the same. Like, she was like, it's not the same that I had with him, but I still love him, and I wanted to get married, and he's a good father figure to my daughter, and she knows that her dad is still very important to both of us, and
yeah,
all this stuff. She was just very open with everyone.
Yeah.
And
Lisa was a gem.
She was a gem, and she did not get what she deserved, which was Danielle listening to her.
Yeah, legit, dude.
Pierce. Again.
Pierce is my soul. Pierce.
I don't think that anyone just becomes toxic. I think everyone is a little bit toxic. I don't think anyone can avoid that.
Yeah.
But, like, he had that toxic nature in him, but Danielle brought it out.
Yeah.
You know? That's how I felt, because I really hated when he answered for her.
Oh, and it just got increasingly worse. It was almost like he was growing more and more insecure in their relationship.
Yeah.
And so then he just felt like he needed to, like, take control even more.
Yeah.
And it was disgusting.
I literally wrote, I think he was forced to take the reins on the wedding, but he was pushy. It's just so pushy. And yeah. I hated it. And I was like, yeah, she wasn't doing a dang thing about getting married, but he also was like, you know, knowing that she's feeling apprehension and things like that, like, he just kept shoving more down her throat as if that was going to change her mind.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he also did the Hallmark thing when his friend asked him, like, what's going on? And he wasn't really being honest, you know? It's like, well, at first I thought she wasn't on board, but then she's doing all this stuff. And it's like, he never addressed how he was feeling. And obviously he wasn't feeling good. And then what, you're all of a sudden okay when she breaks things off?
Yeah. He was like, you're not getting rid of me that easily.
That scared me, honestly.
Dude, honestly, when it was after the holiday party, he dropped her off and he watched her walk off, he kind of gave, like, scary vibes.
Yeah.
When he said, "Oh, I'm not feeling it tonight," I was like,
ugh.
He got so cold that I was like, yeah, I could see Pierce snapping.
Yeah. Well, he was feeling the tension since he had proposed.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think he should have been feeling it before because, like, you said that, like, Danielle was very lovey with him. I don't think she was very lovey. Like, she kind of gave more of, like, professional girlfriend vibes. You know, like, she would, like, kiss him on the cheek and, like, rub his shoulder. But, like, it was, like, professional. Like, she kept him at an arm's length at all times.
Yeah, but it was still way more comfortable. That I think that's what I was trying to get at. It was, like, this comfortable relationship that they had versus all of a sudden, now there's a ring on your finger. And she gets, like, completely, like, get away from me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I could see that. But I think he should have felt it. Because I felt it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I literally made a note. I was like, we get the vibe that they're together, but, like, not super sure. Because she had seemed withdrawn from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely grew whenever he proposed.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, in those 3 years, you didn't decide to go and date yourself, you know, or even while they were married. Like, it seems like he was just waiting for her the entire time. Like, he fell in love with her at the first time that they met, and she fell in love with Colby instead, and he was just waiting for her. Like, I got that vibe from him.
Yeah.
And I hated it.
Well, yeah, I hated how in, like, every single flashback, he was there.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I was confused with the plot, because I felt like it should have gone a different direction.
I felt like if they were going to include Pierce, that she should have ended up with Pierce, because it was like this understanding that he was always there for you.
It was weird, but what they did with Pierce, I also did not like, because it's also kind of concerning how, like, he's flipped so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you have this facade that you put on.
Yeah.
While y'all are dating. And then all of a sudden she's about to become your wife. And you're just like, become this controlling, toxic, insecure dude.
Yeah.
And it's like, I hated how she talked to him about her feelings. And like, what's going on with Audrey? And like, this is coming up. And he like, just got insecure about it rather than being like, yeah, who, the guy who was his best friend as well, her husband, Audrey's father, had passed. They didn't find a body. Like, it's all confusing.
Like,
he should also
have some grief too, because the way that they described him was they became best friends because of this toy drive, and it didn't feel like Pierce thought of Colby as a best friend.
No
More like an enemy that he was waiting to snatch up the girl. That's how it felt like.
Like, he was friends because he wanted to stay close to Danielle.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I did not like his character. I think I would have enjoyed it so much more if he was warm and fuzzy and was with Jane.
So now, looking at our totals, I gave Christmas Bedtime Stories a total of 12 candy canes out of 25.
And I gave it a total of 10.5 candy canes out of 25.
So that gives us an average of 11.25 candy canes out of 25. But we have the cringe factor. Dun, dun, dun.
Slashing everything.
Yeah.
Come crashing down on all that is good.
Yeah. Like what she said. What's your cringe score?
I gave it 2.5 icicles out of 5.
Same.
Okay. Kind of figured it'd be kind of high up there.
Yeah.
I have so many issues. So many issues. Apart from, like, all the gaps in the plot.
Yeah.
So many things that made me just vomit. First thing. Okay. I started, for some of the ones, I really did put a vomit emoji next to my note.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I knew it was, like, factoring into the cringe score.
Yeah.
But okay, I have to tell you, because I was laughing watching the end of the movie today and you were in the room. But again, I wish that this movie would have gone
way far off the deep end. And honestly, at the end, when Colby was standing outside of the father-daughter dance, I wish he would have turned around and was a zombie.
What?
And it turned horror. Like, that's what I was kind of expecting him to be, like, absolutely just, like, out of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what factored into my cringe, was the fact that he went 3 years of imprisonment in hostile territory.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back and he's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
No. We all know.
We all know.
That's not what happened.
He'd be looking rough.
Dude, I was. That's
he
what
still
I was
had a clean shave.
How?
They're actually like, you know what? Let me just shave this for you while you go and escape really quick.
Bruh, how do you swim 7 billion miles
and not grow
like,
hair?
Sneak your way onto a plane, and you look fine. You look brand new. Your uniform is freshly washed. But then also, like, why wouldn't he look that way? Because, okay, my issue is, have any of these people been on a military base?
Probably not.
Like, anybody who made the movie?
Probably not.
Because I'm pretty sure I have more recent experience than you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just go on and off the base.
No.
All casually.
No, you have to, like, check in.
Yeah. So you're telling me that he just...
And you have to have identification. So
you
he
have
doesn't
to have special identification.
So he doesn't have it. So he would have had to been questioned.
It's actually really hard to get on a military base.
Yeah.
Like, it's not casual. No. You don't go, hey, I'm meeting up with so-and-so. Catch you later. No.
Catch you on the flippity-flop.
Yeah. No. So you're telling me he made it up to base. On to base. Nobody was notified and nobody notified Danielle.
Yeah, so I thought the end was just horrible.
It was so bad.
It really made me so uncomfortable that Audrey is literally left by herself watching all of these fathers and daughters dancing. She's having an existential crisis at 8 years old watching these people. And just outside the doors are Colby and Danielle making out.
Legit, dude.
Like, that's uncomfortable. And then the other big thing that played into it, we've talked about it a lot, but the subplot with Pierce and Danielle was just so weird. And it made for such uncomfortable interactions.
Oh, yeah. That was awful. Especially towards the end. Like, at his company Christmas party. There were so many instances. From the beginning. When they're talking honeymoon and she's just... sipping on her drink, like
she's like,
okay. She's just like, that's awkward. Why you're answering? Like, that's just uncomfortable and not realistic. Well, maybe it is, but for a very toxic person,
you know, he should have known something was up when she was like, a June wedding sounds nice.
Yeah,
because if I were him, I would have been concerned with that because I'm like, not that it has to be Christmas time, but you know how much Christmas means to her.
And she didn't even mention it.
Like, anywhere near that time.
Yeah.
And so then
in the middle of the year.
If I was this significant other of Danielle at the time, I would feel uncomfortable because I would think that Christmases were never... I was never going to be included in Christmases because it was her and Colby's thing. You know? That's the vibe that I got. Was like, no, this is me and Colby's thing, and you're not going to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
But, there was a lot of instances of cringe at the company Christmas party. So, her drinking her drink. This movie, for some reason, has an obsession with jokes.
Yeah.
Like, jokes came up multiple times. Pierce went up to... Danielle and was like, sorry about my boss, his jokes are so annoying. And Danielle was like, I actually found them to be funny. Again, with jokes at the beginning, that's how her and Colby met. Like, she went up on stage and like she was sharing jokes that nobody laughed at, only Colby.
And then also at the Christmas party, like, Pierce's friend is, like, I don't know, talking about dating or whatever. And Pierce, like an old married man, like, this is just where I was like, ugh, I'm done with you. I'm done yeah. with you. He goes, man, I'm so glad I'm not on the dating scene anymore. Bro, you were, like, 3 days engaged, and you sound 75.
Yeah.
Married for somehow 105 years. Like, ew. Ew. I did not like him at all.
Yeah.
But Danielle seemed to have this obsession with talking to inanimate objects. Question mark?
Yeah.
Like, she... She talks to the bell ornament when she first gets it, like, during their flashback, and she goes, we're engaged, like, talking to the thing, and then she's, like, talking to the tree that they took their picture in front of,
mm-hmm.
like, the tree as if it were Kobe, and then she talks to the bell ornament at the end right before she sees Colby and is like talking to it as if it's Colby, and I'm like, this chick actually does have mental issues. You know, honestly, I actually would have probably preferred to if
she had mental issues.
If she was seeing things and hearing things, like, I think this movie could have gone so many different places other than where it did.
That's too dark for a Hallmark. You know they're not going to do that.
I know. That's why I knew it wasn't going to happen. But, like, should have.
We are going to slash 5 whole icicles from the total, which gives us a total of 6 1/4 candy canes out of 25. Putting it in third place, with first going to Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas with 12 candy canes, and the Christmas note with 6 3/4 candy canes.
Yikes.
And Christmas bedtime stories with 6 1/4. It's looking sad right now. So we have one more movie in our Miracles of Christmas category before we get into playoffs.
But yes, so with everything ramping up, we also have lots of plans for a lot of different things. So tell us about what you guys want to see from us, because we finally feel like we're in the groove with getting the podcasts out there.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're excited to take things a little bit further. So we have things that we're considering, like merch or doing some live events where it's like a live watch party.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. So if you have any ideas, let us know. Drop a comment. We are finally trying to get on social media.
Yeah.
So we're exploring that. So go find us on TikTok and Instagram at Holly Jolly Christmas Pod. And yeah, tell your friends about it. Like, this is the season to be sharing Christmas joy. And if you enjoy these podcasts and these episodes, share it with somebody.
Anyways, tune in next week as we look at our last movie, where we have this famous Christmas novelist who goes into this small town kind of hesitantly because someone from her past is there, and it's leading her on this journey of exploring love and a new lifestyle that she's not used to. This is Small Town Christmas. So, yeah.
And then that's it. And we go into playoffs.
Anyways, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Adriana.
Have a holly jolly day.
Bye.
Bye.